Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:42 British Summer Time. Today is October 21st. As we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is finishing or close to finishing up on the day, up about a quarter of a point. The S&P is relatively flat, and the Nasdaq is down just a tad, having paired an earlier loss. Brazil is also interesting. It continues to pull back from this 72,000 level. It was down well in excess of 1% earlier on, but as we approach the close, it is also paring its loss, although still below the 70,000 level. In Europe today, it was really quite a firm day, and the DAX in particular was up over 1%, and that continues to extend its advance, having broken upwards from a 6-month range, and that continues to be a remarkably impressive performance, where the index, having gone sideways for 6 months, never really broke down below the 200-day moving average, where it has found support on a number of occasions. And given the consistency with which it has found support in that region, it really would need to sustain a move below the 200-day moving average to question the medium-term uptrend. Better performing markets in Europe, predominantly in Northern Europe, are also performing here, and particularly Sweden, which was up 1.6% today and is also breaking upwards to new recovery highs. The Danish market is also reasserting, and it is continues to maintain its position of outperformance. In Southern Europe, the majority of markets have also firmed. And while the Spanish market was relatively unchanged today, just about everything else was in positive territory. The southern European markets, particularly some of the smaller ones, such as Greece and out in the periphery Ireland, are candidates for a lengthy convalescence due to the very rather well the rather extreme nature of their fiscal consolidations. But the export-led northern European markets remain in a position of outperformance, and because they're leveraged to, or their exporters are leveraged to global growth, that is a broad positive over the medium term. In the very short term, though, the strength of the euro, currently in the region of 139.23, with the dollar marginally stronger here today, is probably beginning to act as a headwind for the European export sector. And very much above the 140 area, and I think we would hear probably a lot more complaint from the corporate sector in the Eurozone. The fact that the dollar was a little bit firmer in here today against the euro, and by almost a cent against the Australian dollar, and also firmed against the Canadian dollar. Did put a little bit of selling pressure, particularly on the precious metals, and silver was down into the close here at 72 cents. The low of the day was at $23 and 3 cents, and it's currently at 23.14. So it's following through on that large downward dynamic that we saw earlier this week, and it really does now need to push above the $25 level to question scope for as a further consolidation of recent gains. It hasn't given up very much of its advance. When one looks at the weekly chart, it has rallied in a consecutive week, and this is the first downward week in quite a long time. And the fact that it is rallied by about $7 in not much more than that in terms of weeks has been a remarkable performance. It's probably due a consolidation at a minimum, and potentially a reversion towards the mean. Gold was weaker in here by $20 today. It's back below the $1,350 area. The Q reversal that was posted about 2 weeks ago, the low of that day and the subsequent day was a bit below where gold is at the moment. So, given the fact that the range at the moment is in the region of about $50, this is a re reasonably shallow reaction for gold. It hasn't come down in any kind of panicky way, because we know what a panicky or a disorderly decline in gold has looked like in the past, and that hasn't really occurred. There is no reason to believe that the long-term upside potential for gold has been questioned in any way at all. It's a little bit overbought in the very short term. It'll be better bought when following a medium-term correction, but we don't really have any evidence just yet that that medium-term correction has begun, although I think that the odds are probably slightly skewed toward perhaps a little bit lengthier consolidation of recent gains, given the way that it has advanced so remarkably persistently over the last 10 weeks and counting. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, the industrial metal complex was really quite firm earlier on today, but gave up its advance, and most of them finished in negative territory, but not by very much. The tin price was quite firm earlier on, and then gave it up and finished in negative territory. It's remarkably overextended relative to the 200-day moving average right now, and tin has been the leader throughout. So it's probably well worth watching. If we see large downward dynamics on the tin price, that will probably be an indication that we're getting into a late stage for some of the other industrial metals. We haven't seen anything like that just yet. The copper price, which has probably pulled back more violently than the others, particularly because it had rallied so persistently and gotten right up there to test the upper side of this lengthy ranging phase, and the highs in the region of $4, which have been an area which has been an area of psychological resistance for about 4 or 5 years at this point. So it's perhaps not so surprising that copper had pulled back a little bit more violently, but other industrial commodities such as lead and zinc, which have been lagging to a certain extent, remain in relatively consistent advances. And while they finished in negative territory today, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and they do have this rivetingly consistent progression of higher reaction lows. The grain and bean complex, also having been a little bit stronger earlier on today, finished in negative territory, but again, not by very much. So the vast majority of these soft commodities remain within really quite persistent advances. And while the grain and bean complex was a little bit weaker in here today, they continue to look like that they're going to head higher over the near term to the medium term. Elsewhere in soft commodities, cotton was a bit stronger in here today, and Robusta coffee broke upwards in no uncertain terms. It was a massive upward dynamic yesterday and follow through in here today. The sugar price has also been remarkably consistent on the upside, and while the US contract was in negative territory just by a tad today, it remains also a contender to continue to push to the upside over the medium term. Rough rice has also been an impressive performer over the last couple of weeks, and is continuing to push higher, and went through the $14 level yesterday. So this has been a remarkable advance for a number of these soft commodities. And when we take a step back, you look at the way that soft commodities, food commodities, industrial commodities, and precious metals have all pushed upwards, and that isn't all due to the weakness of the US dollar. The continued likelihood remains that with wage pressures beginning to have an influence in China on the cost of manufacturing, then it's unlikely that we're going to see disinflation exported from China and some of these other Asian economies over the medium term. The likelihood is that we've probably come close to a bottom in the cost of manufacturing, and there's a strong likelihood that it's only going to go one way, and that's up, which would suggest that the cost of manufactured goods is going to start pushing back up once more. And that is the kind of thing that will begin to feed into inflationary measures in the G4. And that would suggest that stagflation certainly can't be ruled out in over the medium term. Now, in the very short term, these stock markets remain in these consistent advances, and provided the progressions of higher reaction lows in the short term remain intact, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When one looks at a comprehensive click-through of markets. The outperformance of the ASEAN region in particular, but also some of the smaller markets in Latin America, is really stands out. But those markets have paused a little bit in here, and we are starting to see that some of the bigger cap markets in Northern Europe and indeed in North America are beginning to move to a short-term position of outperformance. In other words, they're starting to play catch up. We've seen relatively tight consolidations in some of those better performing markets over the last couple of weeks, and that's allowing the overbought condition to be unwound to a certain extent. And there hasn't been anything in the way of downward dynamics to really scare people that have long positions in some of these instruments or these indices. And that continues to speak to the outperformance of that region. The Asia's population centers in particular remain the engine of global growth, and the outperformance of their markets is likely to be a medium to longer term theme, and that's something that that has been a fuller money theme for a considerable period. They've had a remarkable advance in the last 2.5 months, and they have slowed down a little bit of late, which has allowed some of these other markets in Europe and in North America to catch up somewhat. And those better performing markets, particularly in Northern Europe, that are now breaking upwards to new high ground, are will have all the signs that they are in a catch-up advance right now. And that's a general positive for stock market investors generally. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.